God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I just praise you today. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for our church. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for the Spirit of the Lord working in us to will and to do of your good pleasure. Thank you, Father God, for giving us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts to perceive, receive, and to know what the will of the Lord is. And thank you for helping me, Father God, to minister this word, that I may minister grace to the hearer, that it may stir up them on the inside, and that faith would arise. And Father God, most of all, that I could put forth what you have placed in me to say tonight, Father God. I thank you for this message. I thank you that it's alive and powerful. And I just ask you, Holy Spirit, to bring understanding and revelation in the name of Jesus. I'm going to start this way. Of course, the name of my message tonight was Faith Forward. I was supposed to put in through vision, but I forgot. I didn't put it that way, but you know, for evil to advance or for evil to prosper is for good men to sit back and do nothing. Right? Now you relate that to this, to the church. I'm talking about the whole church, the whole body of Christ in this church. For evil to advance in our area or for evil to advance in the United States, for evil to advance all over the world is for the church to be silent. You know, we had just come through a real hard time, evil times. Evil men, wicked men, had deemed the church non-essential. They had tried to silence us. They were taking away, chopping at our rights that was God-given from the very beginning, from the very foundation and the creation of the world, and even from the very creation and the foundation of the United States of America. It was a covenant that was drawn up through our forefathers with God because they had come to the place where they were establishing the United States of America and the Constitution, and they were at an impasse. They had no agreement. They were arguing and bickering back and forth. And I don't remember which one of the representatives or which one of the signers it was, but he stood up among the midst and said, "Hey, listen, you know, why are we standing here arguing with each other? We need to invite and invoke the Lord into this and get His perspective and get His direction." So they prayed. So we've got a foundation of prayer. We got a foundation of Christianity in this church, unlike some of the presidents that have said that we're no longer a Christian nation. We are a Christian nation. We were founded on Christian principles. The Christian principles that we were founded on was freedom and liberty for all. Amen. That is a residing theme in the Bible, freedom and liberty. With that being said about the years, 4 or 5 years there that we just went through, the 4 years that we went through, it's been said that we have come out over on the other side now. We have fought a battle. We've won that battle. Because over 80 million people voted, and I'm not bringing up religion for any other reason than to show you that it takes the people, it takes God's people standing up and coming up out of their shells, getting past the names that people called us, that unworthy, slugs, worms. We're going to have to be like Joshua and Caleb and be of a different spirit because the ten spies in the when they were coming out or getting ready to come out or had already come out, but got Moses sent them in to spy them, they gave an evil report. It was not of faith. And the Bible says anything that's not of faith is sin. They found it to be just like the Word of God said. They found it to be a land that flowed with milk and honey. They found it to be just like they said, even the people over there. But He said, "I've given you the land. I've given you the people." Amen. Go and move forward. But those 10 spies said something else. I don't know if anybody's caught it. I'm sure Pastor has. He's preached it before. They said those people over there, they're Nephilims. They're giants. They're of the seed of Anak. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but that's close enough. And we are grasshoppers in their sight, and in our sight. So, our thinking, and this is what I will be endeavoring to get across tonight is that we've come out of this period, evil period. We're still in a battle, but it's a time for the church to rise up, recognize who we are, and to take on this mentality and thinking that we are not grasshoppers. We are much more than that. I thought once about coming in here and say, "Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you worthless worms, you dogs, you losers." You know, I mean, but, you know, that's what the world would have you to believe. That's what religion would have you to believe. And in some cases, that's what our families want you to believe, that you can't do nothing. Even though you're a Christian, you ain't supposed to do nothing. You're not supposed to be involved in politics. You're not supposed to be involved in education. You're not supposed to be involved in finances. You know, those seven pillars of society, they tell us that Christians, we just need to keep everything between in these four walls right here and keep the nose out of politics and everything else. Well, the reason why the ground of politics is so important is because whoever controls the politics controls men's mind. They control the narrative. So that's why it's important for the church to rise up, and we are to reflect Christ, not just reflect Him, but we are to demonstrate Him. Our thoughts, I've said this before, our thoughts, our actions, everything that we do needs to be about Christ. If He's for something, we're for it. If He's against it, we're against it, regardless of what our family, our past religion was, our doctrines that we've been taught, our political parties that we've been raised up to know. Even sometimes, my family and I, we've had many disagreements, you know. But the thing about it is, we can't, I heard Pastor say this, that we're in a time of refreshing, refocusing, and you said something else, I don't remember exactly what it was, but it was revival, it was about revival. President Trump says that we're in a new golden age, a golden era, and I know a lot of people don't like that, but we really are. We have turned the page, one prophet said, from that place over into this place. And we can't do the same things that we did before the way that we used to do it. We've got to come into a perspective to where that we know who we are. We know what we're supposed to do. We stand up in our rightful places and positions of authority. The Bible says we're the head, not the butt. You know, that we're the head, not the tail. We're the above, not beneath. We're the lender, not the borrower. We're the ones that God has given authority over His heritage, which is all the works of His hands. That's the earth and the fullness thereof. So for evil to thrive is for good men to be silent or to do nothing. And really, for evil to triumph like it was doing before, you know, you're talking about child abuse, child mutilation. You're talking about transporting and child trafficking. You're talking about abortion. You know, you're talking about things that are, they're atrocities. They are against man. They're against God. So who's going to give God's voice? We're to give God's voice. So that's some of the things, or one of the things that primarily I want to get across. And I had it in my mind to start a different way, but I believe the Lord's leading me this way. And I pray for my understanding, your understanding, and I pray that from this moment on, we move forward. I'm going to read a verse of scriptures from, it's Exodus 14, probably verse 15. I should have already turned to it, but I got busy. Just bear with me, and we'll get through this, and I believe we'll all be blessed as a result of it. This was at a time when God was getting ready to deliver Israel, out of Pharaoh, out of Egypt. They'd been in bondage for over 400 years. They had been slaves. They had been mistreated. They had been robbed. They had basically been beaten. I mean, they were just, you know, beat down. But in their mentality, they thought that they had it good in Egypt. So here's the thing about it. This is, when he was bringing them out of Egypt, he picked a leader. God's picked a leader sitting right there in front, both of those. So the people had to follow his instructions. So as God was bringing them out, the word says, and I'm paraphrasing because I want to get to that one verse right there. He says he brought them out with a high hand. He brought them out with not a feeble one among them. He brought them out with all the wealth of Egypt. Amen? Which was basically a payback for the generations, you know, a recompense for the generations that they, Egypt had held in bondage. Of course, you know, Israel caused that through their disobedience, but they didn't have to be treated so badly. So it comes to the place where they're already out of Pharaoh's presence. God says, I'm going to get my honor on Pharaoh. And I think that we're in that time right now where God's going to get his honor on the evil that's been perpetrated against his people, his creation, and everything that he has designed and made and brought forth. So he says, I will get my honor upon Pharaoh, and he says that he stirred Pharaoh up. Now, he didn't stir Pharaoh up to be evil. He stirred him up, but he used the children of Israel to do it. Pharaoh chose to be evil because he looked and he seen, first of all, our workforce is gone. Our wealth is gone. You know, we can't do the work that they're doing. We can't do what they're doing. So instead of letting them go, he follows after them and pursues after them. So when he pursues after him, the people start murmuring and complaining. And they start talking to Moses. Moses starts talking to God. In this verse right here, he says, this is Moses. He is saying, talking to the people, the Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. The Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. Forward. That's something I want to put into our thinking as I minister this word tonight. Forward, moving forward is advancement. It's not regression. It's not turning back. So that's the reason why the message was entitled Faith Forward. Now here was something that the Lord told me, and this comes from December the 5th, 2024. I've been sitting on this since that time, Pastor. Been kindly mulling it, meditating on it, and asking God what He'd want me to bring forth at its proper and due time. And it goes to vision, and I'm not going to say a whole lot about vision because if you all came, and I hope you did, when Pastor Huffman came, or Dr. Darrell Huffman came, he had a lot to say about revival. He had a lot to say about refreshing. He had a lot to say about refocusing, and he had a lot to say about us being intimate with the Lord. And then on Sunday, he started talking about vision coming through the pastor, how the pastor tells it out there and writes it out there, and people join with him to accomplish that vision. So there's only a few things I'm going to say about that. But here's one thing that the Lord gave me about faith. Of course, we know from Hebrews 11:1 that the Bible definition of faith is that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We know that that's the Bible definition. But this is what the Lord gave me too. He said, faith is that spiritual force, that spiritual power that connects the believers to God's heavenly, that connects the believer to His supernatural, that spiritual power that lifts you above the natural to the supernatural. Faith that lifts you up from the bottom to the top, that will lift you up from sickness and disease to health. Faith that will lift you up into out of poverty, debt, and lack into prosperity and abundance. And faith is something that we use. It's a spiritual force. Of course, we know faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So that's the reason why we gather here in the church. You know, it's just not another church set beside the road, you know, where we don't do anything or say anything, but there's an importance of being under the Word of God. But from this moment on, we can't do what we used to do and expect a better result. We've got to do something different. So that's the reason why I think the message is coming forth about refocusing, revisiting, you know, refreshing, and then about vision. But faith always perceives as real what has not yet been revealed to your senses. If you'll remember when Adam transgressed, he lost his relationship with the Lord and he was relegated to his five physical senses. That's how he gained his knowledge. Well, you could say that faith is that sixth sense. Faith is a gift that God has given to us as a church to use, to call those things that be not as though they are. The things that be not is the promises of God. The things that be not is, you know, when you look out there and you see something that's out of line with the Word of God, we have the power and the authority as believers, as the rightful heirs of this earth, to start speaking the Word and commanding the situations to come in line. You said about the weather the last time you was up there, that, you know, and I did that today over these storms. I said, "Peace be still in the name of Jesus. You'll not bring a destructive force into our area. Our stuff will not be damaged." Amen. But we are the rightful heirs. We are the rightful authorities in this earth. God has that was made evident in Genesis. And then each time that he went through the different leadership, all the way down to Abraham, to where he even brought Jesus in, Jesus was the one that restored us front to the blessing that man was initially brought in under. We're not under a curse, but we're under a blessing. So there's a different thinking, a different mentality that we've got to develop. It's got to become more real to us than what we can see. That's what faith will do. Faith will lift you up into that realm. Faith will lift you up into the realms of possibilities. The realm that God says, the things that with man that are impossible, with me they're possible. Then he turns around and says, they're possible to everybody that believes. Let me see the believers' hands in here. Hallelujah. Yes. So we need to be excited about some of this stuff, you know. It's not, I want to say this, we can't have church as usual. Man, we have to come with an expectancy. We have to come prepared. We have to come prayed up, ready. Amen. We have to come together as a body of believers. It's like Pastor Huffman said this, you know, he didn't raise up this church just for a generation to age out and die out, but for two successive generations. Amen. We're to affect that generation. So I'm going to move on. I've got some other things I want to say, but I understand what I'm trying to say. That word forward is, like I said, it's moving in a positive direction. It's forward into your goals, and it's positive gain. If you're not moving forward, you're not gaining ground. You've said that. I've heard different ministries said that. I've said that. It's like, how many of you have ever been in a mountain stream? And I know you talked about you and Chuck and several of you being in the stream. And quit paddling. And the stream, the force of that stream, starts taking you backwards. So, you know, I've been in a mountain stream in Virginia before and start walking upstream. You can feel the force of the current. And if you stop long enough, it will push you back. And that's the way the world is. It's a pushback against God's positive direction. The world hates God, and the world hates you. So you might as well get that into your understanding and not be fearful of it. The reason why they hate you is because we're the ones that holds the authority and the power. But we've been guilty of not using it. Amen? So, from this time forward, we're going to use our power. We're going to walk in our authority. We're going to be the glorious church. Amen. Because he says, my glory will fill this earth. He said, I will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations. So we've got a part, a pivotal part to play in this. If you're not gaining ground, then you're losing it. Amen. Moving forward is advancement. Now, to vision. just a few things I want to say about vision. The Lord woke me up on December the 5th, about 4 a.m. And and I don't know how to describe it, don't know how to explain it, but that's the way the Lord deals with me a lot of times. And I got up, left Debbie in the bed and went downstairs, got my notebook and wrote down vision and just started praying. And he asked me, and I felt like he asked me, he said, "What is vision?" I said, "Well, it's the ability to see." And he said, "Yeah, it is. But vision, it reveals destiny," he says. Vision is about seeing the future, seeing it the way that God sees it, seeing it through His eyes, and moving into that, moving according to the way He sees things, the way that the Word of God is written for us to be valiant, to be victorious, to be overcomers. Understand what I'm saying? Seeing things through His perspective. Becoming a part of His body and acting and doing just exactly the way that He has planned for us to move. I wrote this down because this is what he said. He said, vision is God's view forward to make a plan and to bring it to pass. Amen. You can put up Proverbs 29:11. This is the plan that God has for us. Nope, that's the wrong one. 29:11, I think. May be wrong. Yeah, 29:11. For I know, maybe I got the wrong one written down. Huh? Jeremiah 29:11. I said it wrong. Sorry about that, Melinda. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. One version says, for I know the plans that I have for you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you an expected end. Plans to give you a future that you hope for. I don't know about you, but, you know, I had to keep my plan alive, God's plan alive those last 4 years. I had to keep visiting this Word. I had to keep my eyes into this Word. Amen. It's vision. This is God's plan. This is what the body of Christ is to be carrying out. And the Word will teach you, and the Holy Spirit will lead you and show you how to be a part of this and how to covenant with God and get everything that you're supposed to get. Amen. Do everything that you're supposed to do. Another thing he said about this was, you know, when it reveals destiny is your destination. It's the place that God's purpose and plan will guide you. It will give you your destiny, you know. So these are some of the things. I'm just sharing with you some of the things the Lord shared with me about vision, how that it reveals destiny. Now you can put up Proverbs 29:18, Sister Melinda, and I appreciate it. I appreciate all that you're doing up there. Amen. Pastor Huffman said this and went over this too, so I'm not going to belabor this very much, but I am going to speak a point that God gave me. And he says, it's the ESV version. It says, without a prophetic vision, without prophetic insight, without prophetic guidance, without prophetic direction, people run wild, casting off restraint, having no direction. The Passion Translation says, where there is no clear, definite prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. But blessed are they who have God's direction and heed His instruction. It is important to hook up to a family church under a pastor with a vision that God has given him, so that when he puts it out there and they write it down, we grab hold of it. You know, we are that much. We are one, is what I'm trying to say. They can't do it themselves. We can't do it ourselves. But together with God, we can do all things. Amen. We can do it. God, and I think Pastor Huffman said this, that God's given us this area. So we're going to have to be like Joshua and Caleb. We're going to have that different spirit. Amen. We're going to have to impact this area with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we do that together. The word that he gave me was hookup. The prophetic revelation ties us into a destiny, and this is our hookup. This is the reason why that we've all gathered here and that we've all been called here. You know, it started 27 years ago. God's not through yet. Pastor said this. We've got a destiny to fulfill in this area that will affect two more generations. I'm going to effect. I hope I don't infect you. But two generations, my son and my son's son, my grandson. He's got two generations, which is his son and his grandsons, until the Lord comes back. We're to be busy. You know, we can't just stay around and really do nothing and que sera, sera, have that type of attitude, even about, you know, politics, finances, education. You know, I believe that God puts people in those positions, especially Christian people. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I don't have this listed, but I'm going to turn to it. There's something that I need to say right here. Let me find it. Say attaboy, Rick. Second Thessalonians chapter 3. Ta-da, I found it. Probably verse 2. Actually, verse 1. Pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. That's the reason why that it's so important for the Christian to recognize and realize who we really are. We teach that here, but I think a lot of us, to the depth, we haven't grasped the depth of that, who we really are, what we God has made us to be. And I think Pastor said this, we live far below the privileges that the blood of Jesus has bought and paid for us. And wicked and unreasonable men who do not operate in faith, well, if they don't operate in faith, they're not after the Spirit of God, they're after the Spirit of the Antichrist. That's how close we come to being in the Antichrist regime and realm. But God, amen, He's doing a divine reset. And I know I've said this before. I don't think a lot of people agree with me. That's okay, but that's what He's doing. He's doing a divine reset and a divine reversal and a divine restoration. And the church is the most important part of peace in this. The church stepping up and recognizing that we're just not here to take up space until we die. I don't care how old you are. Amen. I'm 71, just turned 71. I feel like my course is not over with yet. But what time that I do have here, and I'm not looking to leave anytime soon, I'm going to be productive. The Word promised me that even in my old age, our old age, we'll be fat and flourishing. We'll bring forth fruit in old age, being full of vitality, mentally, spiritually, physically, and otherwise. That word fat means highly productive. It doesn't mean physical, a physical shape. So, but the evil and the wicked men, you know, I pray and ask God almost every morning using this, that God deliver us from unreasonable and wicked mankind. Of course, there's other parts of that prayer, but this part here, I said, because they don't operate in faith. They have turned themselves over to the spirit of the Antichrist. And just like when God stirred up Pharaoh against God's plan to deliver Israel through the Red Sea, the evil people, the wicked men and women, they're stirred up today because of what President Trump is doing, revealing all of this waste, feud, waste and abroad. Waste and abuse. I'm getting ahead of myself. And fraud. Not frog. You know, I knew that there was a lot of evil going on. But man, when they start taking billions and trillions out of the American public's pockets and hiding it for their own purposes and whatever they deem necessary. Evil stuff. That's the reason why the church needs to wake up. That's the reason why the church needs to rise up. So we need to control that. Moving on, this was a Thursday, February the 20th. This was the word that the Lord woke me up. And still again, I think I was in, I'm going to call it a dream state. I don't know whether I was awake or whether I was asleep. But this was the word that I heard. And you think about this. Called to be different. Anointed to make the difference. The church. We are. Called to be different. That's a vocation. That's a calling. That's a gifting. To be different is to be distinct, separate, unlike in nature, form, and quality. We're not to be like the world. We are to be distinct. We are to be different. A peculiar people, one of the scripture references says. A holy people. A holy nation. Consecrated unto the Lord. So that's going to have to be you and me taking time out of our day, presenting ourselves before the Lord and say, here I am. I'm here. I want to hear your voice. I want to know what your will is for my life. You know, so we're called to be different, but we're anointed to make the difference. Now, the difference, that definition there, it is the element or the factor that separates contrasting beliefs or lifestyle. That word anointed, of course we know it means to smear on, rub into. It also means burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. The anointing is something that is on the church and in the church and on us as individual believers that absolutely makes the devil quiver in his feet. So we've got to learn to use the anointing that's on the inside of us, and everybody has to see themselves as an anointed man or woman of God. And that was the reason why I was going to tell you a while ago that you're all slugs and this and that. No, you're anointed men and women of valor. It's just, you're just like David's mighty men. When you go reading about some of those men, what they did, killing thousands of men just by themselves, you know, even, I'm going to say this, and this wasn't in my notes either, Sister Melinda, I apologize, but it comes up in my spirit. Even when Samson, when Delilah was trying to trick him out of his identity and what was causing him to be anointed, they asked him, she asked him when he finally told her, he said, what will happen if I cut your hair? And he said, well, I'll just be like any other man. Church, you're not like any other man. We may have come through the birth as a man, you know, man child, man or woman. But when you got reborn again, born again, you're born from above. You're born with the seed, an incorruptible seed of the Word of God. You have and are of God's DNA. You are, we are, the body of Christ, the body of that anointing. So this was something else he said. We have a divine vocation, a divine calling. How many of you want to step up into that calling? How many of you want to see signs, wonders, and miracles? How many of you want to come through those doors prepared and ready, prayed up, and praise and worship the Lord like you never have done before in your life? I know sometimes our bodies don't feel like it. I know sometimes, you know, we go through things. But the Bible says, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. So you have to realize that you're an overcomer. I make my body do stuff that it don't want to do. 3 weeks ago, the devil attacked me with COVID. It put me on my back for a while. It put me on for about 48 hours. I could barely breathe. sinuses burnt. I mean, just some of the symptoms. But you know what I did instead of laying there and anguishing in that? Yeah, I went to urgent care, got medicine. But before I took my medicine, I got into the Word of God, God's medicine, the Gospels. And then I would get outside and I'd walk and I'd talk. I'd say, lungs, you're going to work. Infection, you're going to leave. Devil, your attack against me will not prosper. I mean, I was quoting the Word. You got to be militant. Militant. You got to be militant believers. That's what I'm talking about. We have to be on this side of the page, on this new turn, on this refreshing, in this revival. We're going to have to be militant believers. Trust in God. Believe in God that what He says, it's ours. Amen? So we have a divine vocation to be distinct, presenting a clear and unmistakable impression of a contrasting beliefs, ideals, and lifestyle according to God's standard, which is His Word. And I said that at the very beginning. Regardless of your party affiliation, regardless of your family affiliation, regardless of the different churches you may have been raised up in, regardless of what the world believes, our job is to reflect God and to demonstrate God. And to take on His mind and His mindset. And that's from what the Word of God says. What He's for, we're for. What He's against, we're against. We've been called to do that. Another thing He said, in these days to come, the voice of righteousness, the sound of righteousness, has to be louder than the sound of the evil. The voice of righteousness, the sound of righteousness, has to be louder than the sound of evil. And that's the reason why I brought that out about for evil to prevail is for the church to do nothing. We're the ones to give voice to God's righteousness. We're the ones that gives that sound. But you give it in line with what this Word says. Amen. The prophets are out there now telling us what we need to say, how we need to come against what the devil is trying to do. Regardless of what you believe about prophets, I believe they're real today. The fivefold ministry has not changed. That's not out of the Bible. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher, there are five distinct ministry or mantles in the fivefold ministry for the perfecting of the saints, for the working of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ until we all come in the unity of the faith, unto the knowledge of the Son of God, unto the fullness of the stature of Christ. Christ is the anointed one. Christ is the anointing. We're to walk in the anointed one, and we're to walk in His anointing. Amen. So our voice has to give voice to righteousness. You can't just, the way the world looks at things, you know, even with COVID or whatever other sickness they got, you can't agree with that. You can't. You've not been raised that way. The Word of the Lord says, you know, you're healed. And you've got to say that. Your body may not reflect that at the time. The symptoms may not show that at the time. It may be a fact that, yeah, your body has been attacked by whatever. But the truth that trumps the fact is this Word. Faith is what the Bible says is your connection into the supernatural. Faith reveals to you what's not yet been perceived by your senses. In other words, your body hasn't reacted to it yet. But you keep saying, you keep doing the Word of God. You keep speaking the Word of God. Amen. Give voice to the Word of God. So here we go. I was talking to Brother Mike Manuel just right after this, and I shared that with him. And he went off. You know how he goes off. But I just had to sit there and listen. But one of the things I wrote down that he said, Brother Rick, we're not playing tiddlywinks no more. We are engaged with evil forces to the saving of men's souls. And, get this, the demolishing the dismantling of the kingdom of darkness by the blood of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! I mean, that's this. I mean, you all know Brother Mike Manuel, but that is very true. That is what we are engaged against. That's the devil is trying to perform or get his kingdom bigger than God's. But God's kingdom is already won. It's already a greater kingdom. So we are coming against the forces of darkness to save men's soul. Luke 4 talks about the anointing that Jesus said, I'm anointed with to preach the gospel to the poor. I probably won't get these in order, but the healing of the brokenhearted, the recovering of sight to the blind, the deliverance to the captives, the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. So these are the things that we are anointed to preach and to teach. But it takes us taking on the mentality, and not just the mentality, but actually being Christians, little Christ, little anointed ones, but with the big anointing in us, His anointing. Amen. I heard this, and this was given on the same time too, in February. He said, full court press. I said, what? This me and God, okay? In that dream state, which I got up and wrote this down. A full court press. Now, I played some basketball in grade school and high school, and a full court press, usually when we put the full court press on, we were way behind, you know. So we had five guards, including myself, that were faster than grease lightning. And we would force our opponents into mistakes and go down and be offense and score. It's like you said, even if you don't have a good defense, if you don't have any offense, you ain't going to win. So the church has got to get on offense. If it takes a full court press, man, we got to do that. We got to full court press the enemy in this area. Amen. For these people. Amen. So pressing is... this is what he said to me. He said, press into your new identity. Walk according, not to the flesh, but to the new creation. Pressing into that identification, not only as Christ, but as Christ's anointed ones. You're anointed. We're all anointed. You don't have to be a fivefold minister. You're anointed. You're the body of Christ. So you have to realize that when you go out there in your spheres of operation, you touch people's life. You lay hands on the sick, according to Mark 16. You preach the gospel. You tell them the good news. Amen. You be Christ to that next individual. Lead them to Christ. Amen. It's called applying pressure. To put a greater emphasis on. That's what press means. We cannot be lackadaisical Christians, lazy Christians. We've got to do something different and get different results. Another thing he said, we've got to put skin in the game. That's our personal interest. Personally involved or vested interest in God's plan. Ensuring its success of harvesting souls. Pressing the kingdom of God. As it is in heaven, let it be done on earth. That's what we're called to do. That's just not a religious prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth. That's God's desire. Even from the very beginning, that's what he wanted Adam and Eve to do. Make heaven here upon this earth. That's our calling today. I'm gonna go on through this because I know time is of the essence, but I want to just say a few more things. Stephanie said this the other day, and I liked it and went wild. I mean, my spirit leaped within me. We're not spectators. We are participators. Amen. And this is what the Lord said to me about spectators, and I hope you don't get your feelings hurt, but He said, we're not just spectators waiting for a rescue mission, but participators. Occupying till I come. That word occupying is just like, it's a military term. Occupy means to take by force. It's not by our power and might. Remember that. It's by the Spirit of the Lord. To hold possession of. To control said possession. I.e. the earth and the fullness of God. That's what occupying means. Advancing is also a military term. It's going forward. Amen. Regardless of the opposition that you or we or all of us together may face, it is moving forward in Christ. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 20, he talks about us being a new creation. Talks about us not being just mere men, but a new race of beings. So that's where our mentality has got to shift. You cannot go to the mirror and look at yourself and say, I'm just old James. You know, I'm just old Debbie. You know, no. You are brand new. You are created in the image of God. You are somebody in the kingdom of God. Together. The Bible talks about a threefold cord not being easily broken. But when we join together, hook up, not just arm in arm, but spirit to spirit, when we come together in the same vision, locked in, loaded, we are a danger to the kingdom of God. And that's what God expects us to be. Not backing down, not retreating, advancing and occupying. That's our commission. That's our game. Amen. The government of God is dominion, authority, subduing, replenishing, multiplying its seed, plant, and harvest. Praise God. That's all I've got for tonight. Amen. There's a whole lot more, but I really feel like the point that was needed was I got it across that we're no longer mere human beings anymore. We're no longer just a church sitting on the hill like any other church. We're called to be different. Destined for greatness. Amen. The prophecy that we've been given, it adorns the vision. You know, it confirms the vision. So let's get hooked up together. Amen. Let's come together in the name of the Lord. Every time we come together in this church, let's get together in the name of the Lord and expect the presence of God to show up, because he said, where as many as two or three are gathered together in my name, I'll be found in the midst. The Holy Spirit, it's just like in the Old Testament, Genesis 1, the Holy Spirit was just hovering. A brooding over the earth because of what had happened, and was just waiting for God the Father's command, light be. So the Holy Spirit, our helper, is brooding around us in our world, just waiting for us to command something. Command the word. Amen. So I said that was it, so that's it. Amen. Y'all can stand up. First of all, I'd like to know if everybody's heart in here is satisfied with their conversion and salvation.